You can also tune in at 5 p.m. over listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 on your FM radio tuner. It's going to be fantastic.
Sean Rhodes. Join me for another special edition of Labrish with Hafez Selassie as we continue our discussion of the settlement, bylaws rewriting, and the holding of local board elections. Our guest, once again, will be Carol Spooner of the Interim Pacifica National Board, Ray LaForest of WBAI's Local Advisory Board and WBAI's Bylaws Revision Subcommittee, and Andrea Fishman of the Elections Committee of Concerned Friends of WBAI. So, depending on whether you stay up or get up, tune in late Friday night, early Saturday morning, June 22nd at 3 a.m. for this very special edition of Labrish. You don't want to miss this one. That's Labrish with Hafez Selassie and yours truly, Sean Rhodes, late Friday night, early Saturday morning, June 22nd at 3 a.m. only on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM.
The path to tyranny is paved with fear. Welcome to Labrish for Saturday, June 22nd, 2002.
Good morning. Welcome to Labrish. I am Hafez Selassie. Labrish is a production of the Jazz Mac Associates.
Bob Marley and the Wailers, Babylon System is the name of the song. Welcome to Labrish. My name is Hapte Selassie, and this is Labrish for Saturday, June 22nd, 2002. We'd just like to alert people that this program was taped, and we're finding out, having reviewed the tape, that the tape was not of the best quality, so there are some problems with it. We cannot recreate the entire program, so we have decided to go with the program as is. It is our second attempt at bringing some information about what I will loosely refer to as the settlement. I have to confess, as I have in the past, that I know very little about the ins and outs of Pacifica administration, Pacifica hierarchy, the aims, objectives, and so on of Pacifica, its founder, all of these people, you know, the names that you have heard maybe a million times recently, in recent months. However, I understand the idea, and I'm passionate about the idea of another term that is used quite a bit, quote-unquote, free speech radio. I understand free speech radio not as in the sense that I hear it here, but I understand it in the sense of what I think the authors of the Constitution of the United States intended, and even beyond what their intent was. I understand freedom, and freedom of expression is integral to freedom. It cannot be something that, if it is attenuated, if it is amended, if it is minimized, if it is corralled in any kind of way, that it can be then what it is. Matter of fact, a definition to me of free speech immediately curtails free speech. So that is a part of what the process is. I have to say, again, thanks very much to Sean Rhodes, who kind of insisted in his inimitable way that I do a program. That was back in February.
March.
In March?
March 22nd.
That's when we did the program.
Right.
But back, I think it was back in February that you insisted that you gave me the information.
Right.
But back in March, we did a program, our first program on the Pacifica settlement, if I may. I was tickled, I still am tickled, that it created a lot of ruckus around here, again, in light of the fact that this is a free speech radio. And I say it neither tongue-in-cheek, nor because I have no intentions of biting my own. But I found it interesting that a need was created from the program that I did to have what I refer to as a rebuttal. Be that as it may, we are gratified, we are pleased that in all that has transpired here, it is on this program, Labrish, again with the insight, the foresight of Sean Rhodes, encouraging me to do a program along this line, along this program, that we were the first to do a program on the settlement. Matter, I would dare say, listening to the radio 24 hours a day, I dare say that we were the first to mention that there was such a thing as a settlement. I do know that it was mentioned prior to January of this year, but I would say that since at least the middle of January, that we were the first people to, the first program to do any kind of, if I may, expose on the issue. At the time, we had, our guest, Ms. Carol Spooner, who is secretary of the interim Pacific National Board, and Mr. Ray LaForest, who is a member of the WBI Local Advisory Board, and Andrea Fishman, who is a member of the Election Committee of Concerned Friends of WBAI, and let me say our skipper, our navigator, our pilot, Sean Rhodes, who again is responsible for putting this program together. We think it is very important that people understand that as far as Hapte Selassie is concerned, WBAI, Pacifica Radio as a network, is up for grabs. There are rules, regulations, a discussion going on in terms of a definition of Pacifica, rules, bylaws to determine how it will function, how it will run. My understanding of rules and regulations, I'm always reminded that the United States had not only a constitution in effect, but it had a copy of the original document in Washington, D.C., when this gentleman, Joseph McCarthy, was running while in this country. In fact, there is a constitution in effect, and the original document is in Washington, and this present administration is running wild, arresting people, using scare tactics to intimidate people into surrendering of their own free will, if I may, their right. And I'm saying that in this light, that, as I said, I think that Pacifica is a network. WBA as a radio station is up for grabs. And it is in that respect that I'm doing this program. That is, we want to inform people. As Mr. Jefferson said, that is Thomas Jefferson said, that if the people do not understand what their rights are, it is not the responsibility of the government to govern on their behalf, but it is the responsibility of government to educate them about their rights. And it is in that spirit that this program is being done. That is to make listeners to find out, to inform them as to how can participate in the process, how they can be a part of what is again termed listener-sponsored community radio, that is of both the Pacifica network kind and also of the local kind of WBAI. And in that, having said that, I would like again to thank Sean Rhodes, who is here, and you can say good evening, good night, good morning, Sean, to all of those things,
depending on whether you stay or get up.
As Ray says, I would like to welcome Miss Carol Spooner, and welcome Carol. I hope you don't mind. I like to say Miss Spooner. I feel so much more comfortable saying Miss Spooner.
That's fine with me. How would you like me to call you?
Happy is good. Happy is good enough.
Okay.
I would like to welcome again Andrea Fishman, who is a member of the Election Committee of Concerned Friends of WBAI. And a member of the WBAI Bylaws Revision Subcommittee.
Well, hello.
And we'd like to welcome also Rayla Forrest, member of WBAI's lab. He's also a member of the Interim Pacifica National Board and the WBAI Committee. He's a co-chair of the WBAI Bylaws Revision Subcommittee. We'd like to welcome you all and thank you all very much for joining us. And we're turning the program now over to Sean Rhodes. And thank you very much, Sean.
Okay. Well, first I'd like to explain what I hope to accomplish today and explain a little further how this show came about. In the first show, as we said, that aired Friday, March 22nd, we discussed a number of factors critical to the survival of WBAI, its four sister stations, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFT in Houston, Texas, KPFA in Berkeley, California, and KPFK in Los Angeles, California, and critical to the survival of the Pacifica Foundation, which holds the license for all five stations. Those factors were the settlement of the various lawsuits brought against the Pacifica Foundation, the rewriting of the organization's bylaws, and the holding of elections for local boards and a national board. During that show and afterward, Hafte decided to have a follow-up show and subsequently monthly shows up until the time of elections, in an effort to keep listeners informed with quality information, as he likes to say, and have them become a part of this rebuilding of WBAI in Pacifica. So that's how this show came about. Now, in terms of the goal for today's show, I want listeners to know, one, what's taken place in terms of bylaws, rewriting, and the holding of elections since that first show, two, how all of this will impact them as listeners, and three, how every listener can plug into this process. So you should have pen and paper handy, because there will be website URLs, phone numbers, and meeting dates, times, and locations given out. And all of this is because, as I said in the first show, you, the listener, play a crucial role in strengthening and preserving the station and the network. So if you thought, now that your favorite producer has come back, you could just go home and go about your business, that's not the case. Now the real work begins. Now, for those of you who may have missed the first show, we discussed the various lawsuits brought against the Pacifica Foundation, which were the Listener's Lawsuit, the Local Advisory Board Lawsuit, the National Board Lawsuit, and the Board Countersuit, and how these lawsuits were brought about in response to the corporatization of Pacifica and the neutralization and removal of Pacifica's most progressive and dissident voices, in addition to its financial malfeasance. And all of this over a period of 5 to 10 years. The settlement, which is in effect until March 2003, calls for, among other things, the creation of an interim Pacifica National Board, the IPNB, the rewriting of the organization's bylaws, and the holding of an election for local boards to be completed by December 29, 2002, because according to the settlement, local board elections have to be held 1 year after the first meeting of the interim board, and the IPNB first met on December 29, 2001. And the settlement also mandates that an election for a national board take place 3 months later, making that March 2003. Now, in the first show, we said that at the March National Board meeting, which took place March 8th to 10th in California, Carol proposed, and it was accepted, that a national committee with subcommittees in each of the five signal areas be established to start writing bylaws and election guidelines in consultation with one another. Carol, speak to us a little more about the composition of these subcommittees and their purpose.
Sure. I'd like to take note of how Hopi opened this program by saying that the road to tyranny is paved with fear. I think we need to think about that as we move forward through changing Pacifica's governing structure. Pacifica came under attack because Pacifica was feared, because Pacifica is and was free speech radio, where many sources of information, a lot of education of the American people, got out on the airwaves that caused problems for people in powerful high places. So I'd like to just put that context around what we're doing. As we revise the bylaws for Pacifica, that's also creating a lot of fear. There is fear in the Pacifica community amongst different segments of our community of listener sponsors. Some fear others. Some fear that power might get concentrated in one set of hands or another. Some fear that they might be left out and not have any say. Some producers fear listeners. Some listeners fear producers. There's a lot of fear. And I think that fear, if we succumb to it entirely and lose faith, could lead us into tyranny. And I'm hoping we will avoid that. I think that more than that is demanded of us. With that said, there are five committees meeting in all five of the Pacifica station areas, holding public meetings, brainstorming, talking about different ways to elect local boards. Whether we should have a direct election, one person, one vote of all the listener supporters, all the listener sponsors for each station, whether we need to put aside some appointed seats for various communities that might be underrepresented, the staff members inside the station, the people who work and produce the radio, should have all local boards. Whether we should hold elections at all, or whether we should perhaps choose different groups within our communities that have an affinity for Pacifica's mission and say, well, you choose our board members for us because we trust that you have the same goals as Pacifica. So all of these things have been thrown open and have been under discussion in the five listening areas for the last, since March. And it's been really lively debate and many creative ideas and thoughts and perspectives brought out. And in the overview of it all, I feel encouraged. I think that probably just about everything that could be thought up has been thought up. And at this point, the National Board of Directors will be meeting again in Berkeley in June. And the subcommittee chairs, Ray is one of them, along with Janice K. Bryant in New York, are going to tell the board about the sum and substance of their discussions at their station area over the last couple of months. We're going to just hear from each other. We don't get to see each other very often because we're spread out all over the country. And determine how we need to go forward from here. Under the legal settlement, the currently existing local boards must approve, at least three of the five local boards must approve the bylaws changes that will tell us how the local boards will be selected, elected in the future. So I think our next step will be for each of the five subcommittee chairs to sit down and brief their local boards there as to the ideas that have been brought forward in their signal area to make sure that they are fully understanding what the options are and find out what what they would like to do, so that we can determine whether three of the five local boards can agree in principle as to how elections will be held. I'd like to see that happen sometime next month in July. And if with that information, then I think all of the various notions that have come forward, it's going to have to be synthesized by the national board with some help from our committees into a coherent document that spells out how the local boards will be elected and how the national boards will be elected, and just move forward and get it done.
Before getting to Ray and asking him about what ideas have been coming out of the BAI bylaws revision subcommittee meetings, I'd just like to everyone listening to know what the composition of subcommittees in each of the signal areas is. That's two interim Pacifica National Board members, also lab members, and it's open to staff members, producers, anyone in the public who has an interest in this. Is that correct?
That's right.
Correct.
That's right. We want as many people who have anything to say to come and help participate in these meetings. Decision-making power. However, the final bylaws have to be approved by the National Board of Directors, and the bylaws that says how the local boards will be elected and also how the national board will be elected needs to be approved by the local board. So the committees are actually brainstorming sessions that can come up with ideas and proposals and suggestions that the decisions will eventually have to be made.
Now, Ray, in the first show, the WBAI Bylaws Revision Subcommittee had just been formed and was in the process of calling its first meeting. Since that time, a number of meetings have been held, which have been primarily taken place every Tuesday, sometimes a Thursday thrown in or a Saturday thrown in here and there. And but as you are one of the co-chairs of that committee, along with Janice K. Bryant, tell us what ideas have come out of those meetings.
Well, as you can imagine, rewriting the bylaws of an institution as complex as and wide as Pacifica is a major task. So we focus on some major ideas. For example, who can vote and who can be elected. Since in the settlement we had a mandate that we begin, for example, with the KPFA model. As a starting point, for example, in the meeting that we had in New Jersey, we focused exclusively on that, and we approached, actually, the work of the committee followed on the similar work that was being done by the so-called exploratory committee of the lab. So we picked up on that, and so the initial meetings were brainstorming sessions where we're identifying ideas and concerns and themes that definitely had to be addressed. We've done quite a bit. We've done more. We've had more than 11 meetings. Some of them have been very specialized. For example, the last two were extremely specialized. The last one happened in Brooklyn, and it dealt exclusively with the constituency model. The one before that dealt exclusively with the election. Different the election theme, and as I said before, one in New Jersey, I probably the presenter was Lai Rumsted, dealt exclusively with the KPFA model.
That's proportional representation.
Yes.
Okay.
So we, again, and as we've been progressing, we've been becoming more proficient at it, and we're able to, with many more nuances than when we started. Although as we reach out to newer, the Brooklyn was one that was the first one for that community, and when we inquired at the beginning of the meeting as to whether anybody there, outside of the regulars, were there, as to whether the answer was negative. Therefore, it's a very basic history of the changes, the settlement, and. The resolution by the National Board initiating this process and setting up those committees and what they consisted of and what the goal was. So that we had to do that as a precedent to actually talking about the constituency model. So we don't go into detail. We have covered quite a bit yet. I am assuming at this point also what we have done, we haven't spoken about that yet. What came officially so far out of the work of the different areas has been the so-called bullet point. I'm sure Carl will address that later.
Yeah, I'll begin to that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want, would be a summary of all the important issues that have been and have to be addressed, and the different options that are available within those categories. And of course, as Carol just said, it is still open to ideas, you know, people looking at them and seeing what is glaring and missing. And again, and since, at the very least, because the lab has to vote on the section dealing with election of local advisory board or local boards and national boards, the inclusion of Indo boards that are playing a role, they would definitely be part of that process. Of giving their opinion. So I feel really at this stage, we are at a stage now where the National Board meeting in San Francisco. Something goes wrong. We are planning an all-day session on the 29th, to Saturday, 29th of June. And in between, we really have to, we're at the stage where we have to look at what has been done systematically and what is left to be done. So we can, except when we're dealing with new areas, for example, if we hold meetings in Long Island, Westchester, where people assumably would not have been a direct part of the dialogue, where we will see where the mainstay of the discussions have and what have been neglected and what is left to be done.
Mm-hmm. Carol, what ideas have come up at the KPFA bylaws meetings?
Well, we started out with a leg up because we've actually held two elections for our local board here. We just started off doing it 2 years ago. came up with the rules and started doing it. So we didn't start at KPFA with imagining how to elect a local board. We're pretty satisfied with how our local board is elected. What we started doing was taking a very big zoom out, large picture look at Pacifica and saying, how can you organize a national radio network and also have local autonomy at five community radio stations? How would you make that work? What would be a good distribution of authority and responsibility? So that's where we started, and we started and quickly discovered that our community has a strong bias towards the local station boards having the authority of oversight over the local stations. We feel that, or felt that Pacifica's had bad governance because governance has been too remote. I'm a member of a national board of directors responsible for what happens at WBAI. But I'm not in New York, and I don't listen to WBAI. So maybe that's not appropriate for me to be on the governing board of WBAI. Maybe the governance should be closer to WBAI. That was pretty much the sentiment here. So our thought was that the local boards should become governing boards, and that can be done legally if they are considered committees of the national board. So we're going to propose that as a structure for Pacifica, that the Pacifica National Board have five committees, one in each station area, with the power of the National Board delegated to them, subject to, always legally, all of the authority has to reside in the National Board, so subject to the ability of the National Board of Directors to override a local board if it finds it necessary. We'd like to see overlapping membership so that some of the members of the local boards would be elected by the local board to sit on the national board. And the national board would be looking at very big, long-range policy issues more than local station issues. So that's where we started. Our bylaws committee has looked at various models of how to elect our station boards. I have to say that there's very little support that I'm aware of. Nobody has even wanted to come and make a presentation to us of the constituency model here at KPFA. Ray can, probably the listeners would like to understand it better, and I think Ray would probably do a better job explaining it than I can. Our theory is that power distributed is better than power concentrated, that we're safer that way, and we trust our listeners very deeply. So our model that we are, I think, committed to is that every listener sponsor of all the stations has a vote. Listener sponsor would be defined as someone who contributed, say, $25 a year, minimal, or volunteered at the station, say, 3 hours a year. So it would not be a big burden to be, and that would make all of those people members of their local station, and they would have a vote for seats on their local station board. Also, we feel it's very important that our staff members, the people who work in the stations, produce the radio, do the work, also have a voice in governance, and that they can elect members to the local station boards as well. Our model calls for a minimum of a third of the station board members would be elected by the staff, and a minimum of one half would be elected by the listeners, with some fudge room in there so that, you know, you could have a few more, one way or the other, of staff members. We have 14 listener elected and 8 staff elected members on our 22 member board. And that those boards would have the authority over the budget and over the hiring and firing of the general manager. They would set policies about programming direction and about how programming decisions would be made. And they would elect members from that board to the national board. So that's the proposal that our committee, after as many meetings as Ray's committee, hashing out lots of different thoughts about how to do this, that pretty much boils it down after a lot of meetings where we are. But now we have to brief the KPFA local board, and we'll be doing that also on the 29th of June. Our local board members, some of them have been attending the committee meetings, but not all. So we need to see where our local board is and present them with that option. So I think we'll be very amenable to them because that's how our local board was elected. That's where we're at.
Okay, WBAI New York. You're listening to Labrish. My name is Hapta Selassie, and we have as our guest Ms. Carol Spooner, Mr. Ray LaForest, and Ms. Andrea Fishman. They are discussing, along with Sean Rhodes, who is the producer of this segment, the Pacifica Settlement and the extension of then the Pacifica Settlement of where Pacifica is presently and where it is going, and the role that you listeners can play and are playing in the process. Again,
Happy?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but there was one important thing I forgot to mention.
I was just doing a station ID, as they call it. So, okay, but you can go ahead.
I'm sorry, I forgot to mention also that we're at PPFA model includes two criteria to make sure that there's diversity on our board. One is that 50%, we will be recommending that 50% of the local board members must be persons of color, a minimum, and a minimum of 50% be women. So that's one other component that goes into our elections model. And we do elect by a voting system called proportional representation that allows voting people of different philosophies to get seats on the board, even if they don't have a majority of the votes. So, for instance, if 12% of the electorate was very much in favor of having more music programming, then perhaps they would get somebody on the board who was really advocating more music programming. Or perhaps a segment of the community that wants more drama and literature, the same. Or more focus on Latino issues. You see that under a proportional representation system, different viewpoints can get on the board elected roughly in proportion to the number of people who support that point of view.
Ray, before I go to my next question, would you like to speak briefly about your constituency?
Well, first I'd like to say that, unlike what Carol described, in New York we have a very broad range of position on all those issues that Carol mentioned. So that instead of submitting a consensus position, such as KPFA has and Carol just described, we are forced to show a whole panoply of positions on each, particularly every single issue. For example, we just talked about models. We have people of position that, similar to KPFA, people should just register and their eligibility will be based on their participation in the system or a financial contribution. And we have people who feel that anybody who's listening, whether they can afford to pay or not, we should find a way, that we have the duty to find a way to include them. Now, obviously, that has all kind of ramifications coming from there, from that position. We have people who feel that that applying a democratic system in a straightforward fashion would exclude participation from people who, minorities and other dispossessed people, have been excluded historically. And the constitution model supposedly is one of attempts to answer that, and feel that if you go and you just set up elections in a straightforward way, you will actually ignore those people, will not be involved in the process. You have other position again that we want people who are poor and dispossessed, be specifically not only because in the name of justice, but the people who have nothing to lose. The people who can only benefit supposedly from being part of this system, this station and this network, are the only ones who can guarantee that it cannot be hijacked again. So, therefore, we will be submitting a whole range of positions as taken. So, to say quickly, the constituency model, the idea is to bring the different constituencies, the different communities and groups who form what Dinkins used to call the mosaic of what constitutes the New York listening area. And similar to what I was describing earlier, the idea would be to act in a proactive way on the basis that, on notion that some people have to be, that the grassroots, I guess you could call it like that, that the people who are the poorest people, the workers in the society, these for whom the network was created, who need peace and who suffer from racism and so on, have to be included. So that even if you have to distort the system in reaching out to them, that there's a greater harm being done by not including them than by having a system where you will not tamper at all with a more quote unquote democratic structure, and those people wind up being excluded. So the idea would be, and again, within that category, there are different views of it. The one that we've been, for example, we had the other day in Brooklyn, is one where people around the station who are involved would reach out to specific communities that are known to be very active, the Latino community, the Afro-American, group of women, Asians, and so on, and that the leaders of this community we approach and ask to give us access to their communities, and that they would be asked to themselves to pick through various means, elections, and as some individuals say, for example, in the case of Native American, if their way of doing so is to have a group of elders making a decision, that would be the way it would be done, and that they would pick people to participate. They would select people to be to run for election, mm-hmm. for positions.
All right. Another thing that has come up since the first show was the development of the bullet points, in which both Ray and Carol have alluded to. Carol, explain what the bullet points are and how they came about.
Well, the bullet points summarize in somewhere between 2 and 5 sentences 7 and 17 page proposals. What they are many of the issues that have been discussed at the KPFA community committee, the WBAI committee, the Washington DC committee, and the Los Angeles committee. I didn't get any report out of Houston, so the ideas that are being discussed there are not included, although I understand they're talking about more or less the same things we are. And what it was an attempt to say, well, there are these issues about our governance structure, and there have been these proposals made about how to address that issue. So the bullet points are sort of a summary of discussions so far. It's an inadequate summary because all of the different proposals and ideas have many different complexities and hues and ways of looking at them, but it's a way to just say, well, there are a lot of different ideas out there, and here is a brief summary of what they are. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
I did want to say that there's a preamble to it all that I think is important, because oftentimes when I hear people talking about bylaws and what they'd like the bylaws to do, they're actually talking about management and what they'd like the station management to do. And the preamble or the introduction was to try to separate those two. And I think that's going to be a hard job, because what people really care about is what comes out over the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, programming. That's why everybody cares. Nobody cares about bylaws, for heaven's sakes. They care about what comes out over the air. What bylaws can do is set up a board that sets policy. It doesn't set up a board that manages the station or makes programming decisions. It sets up a board that makes programming policy and can make policies about how programming decisions will be made. That's a very important thing. Very important to say, well, who sets those policies? And if you don't like what's coming out over the air, what can you do about it? You can elect a different board that would set different policies and different ways of making programming decisions. For instance, a board could make a policy that says, we're going to have a programming council at WBAI that will consist of elders from the Native American community and or someone picked by them, and persons selected by various neighborhood organizations that are deeply concerned with racial justice. You can make a policy like that. That would be one thing that a local board could do. Or if people didn't like that system and thought they were getting lousy programming, then they could elect a different local board and say, let's change that policy. So you see what I'm saying.
Right. These bullet points, are they available on Pacifica.org?
No, they haven't gotten up on Pacifica.org. I think they're posted, though, on the BAI bylaws webpage, aren't they, Andrea?
I assume they are.
Yeah. I know they are. What's the address there?
WBAI.net is... not the bylaws page, but the page for BAI information about all of the Pacifica matters.
Well, I have the UL for that bylaws thing, and it's a rather complicated one. I mean, the easiest, I can give that to you, but also keep in mind that the easiest route to get there is WBAI.net. But here's the URL. It's http://groups.yahoo.com/group/WBAI bylaws/message/971. Go to BAI.net.
WBAI.net.
You'll see the link.
Ray, there's also another web page for the bylaws themselves, isn't there? Bylaws,
yes.
Committee. You know that?
I don't have it in front of me here, but I can give it before it's over.
Okay.
All right. Well, as I have these bullets in front of me, I just wanted to touch briefly on some of the things that they outline, because as I understand it, these are just suggestions for the basics that all five signal areas should be looking at. In other words, the minimum that everyone should be addressing. This is not what has to be there or even in this form, but just a starting point so that we're all on the same page, if you will. There's the overall structure, the overall foundation structure, excuse me, and then there's a legal Pacifica membership that pertains to a listener member or a staff member or local board members. And then there's the manner of election of local boards. What else is there? There's the manner. The voting mechanism for local board elections. There is the manner of election of national board. There is the qualifications to run for a seat on local board. Let's see. There's, if I'm not skipping anything, eligibility, diversity criteria for local boards. There's the recall. There's other potential items. So as I said, this is rather comprehensive, but again, it's just a suggestion as a starting point. It's not the maximum that everyone should, you know, adhere to. There's flexibility. But my question is, how will the suggestions that come from different signal areas, that being the public, how will that get incorporated? Will there be a special meeting held up to draft all of these, you know, revisions, or how is that going to? Are people just sending their revisions to one central area? How is this going to work?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think at this board meeting in the end of June in Berkeley, we're going to have to decide that. It's the national board has a duty to get these bylaws written. I think that all of the brainstorming that's been going on has given us many, many options. And we're going to have to, as a board, decide which of these options we can agree on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the actual final document of the bylaws really is going to have to be written with legal assistance so that it's clear, concise, simple. I know that sounds strange to say legal advice, but it needs to be clear, concise, simple, and well-written and unambiguous. The old bylaws that we're replacing were horrifically ambiguous, and that's one of the things that permitted the takeover of Pacifica. So we're going to have to do it right. The National Board is going to have to our committee of bylaws revisions committee is going to have to bite the bullet, discuss among ourselves all of the options out there, and decide what we can agree on. We've certainly had tremendous, wonderful, stimulating discussion in all five station areas, and many great ideas have come forward. So we have a lot of options to choose among, but we're just going to have to decide.
And how are we in terms of the timeline?
Well, I'm hoping, ever the optimist, that we can do that by the end of the summer.
Okay.
End of August.
Andrew, let's bring you into the conversation. Andrea has gained the reputation of attending every meeting scheduled, and although she's had to miss a few recently because of personal matters, she's still quite abreast of what's taking place and still quite active in these matters. What's your take in terms of the bullet points? Where do you see the strengths and weaknesses in some of those bullet points?
Well, I have to say that I'm not as abreast as I feel I need to be, frankly. I've had to miss quite a few of the bylaws committee meetings, even though I was working on bylaws and elections issues, elections procedures, and I was on the exploratory committee before the bylaws meetings. My feeling, though, in the couple that I have attended and the fringes that I've attended, is that, and this may be a leap, but that the discussion has been too confined or not possible to really genuinely take place in a thorough way. The issues are very, very complicated, and I feel somehow that we did not start out with a real series of discussions about what Pacifica, what kind of a network it needs to be, and what really is at stake here, and what we're trying to protect. And I have to say that disturbs me greatly, and I feel that it's reflected in the options, and it's very hard for me to define it, but also I feel it's reflected in the response of the station to this decision. There hasn't been much programming on the matter. There hasn't been much airtime really given. Just lip service has been given to it, a few programs, but not really very open and thorough discussion. And I think the bylaws meetings themselves, it's not really necessarily a criticism of the bylaws committees themselves. It's very difficult to have these discussions, and it takes quite a while to work into them. And I think one problem is we have not had time. I don't feel there's enough time. Somehow, I think that we are being thrust into this process too headlong and too fast. The terms of the settlement, I know, are what are constraining us, and I would like to see some way to extend this this period of discussion, or extend the period of ratification, and extend the discussion because into a more, what I feel is actually a more democratic one. I feel somehow issues are being shortchanged or railroaded through or discussed in, at least in WBAI. I really know that in New York the issues are presented in a different fashion than at other stations. But there are many, many issues raised in New York and many, many polls. And for people to feel democratically secure, I think we need to have a more thoroughgoing discussion.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Andrea?
Yeah.
I hear you. I hear that cry. And I'll tell you what I think about it. I think that if we can get a democratically elected system in place quickly, as quickly as the settlement requires us to,
yeah,
then democratic discussion will take place. Because you'll have democratically elected boards who can continue this discussion. And the bylaws can be revised again. But right now, we're under a timeline, and I'm an appointed board member, so is Ray, and so is our whole board. And as long as that's in place, I think it's wrong that we really need to hold some elections, get democratically accountable people in place, and continue the dialogue ongoing for many years in the future. That's my feeling, because the actual power to decide this right now resides in the local and national boards that are appointed, not democratic.
Right, I understand that, and that is a problem. I mean, I'm glad to hear you say that, because if in some way there could be elections held right now or soon, in a democratic fashion, but to be considered, let's say, a transitional period, a transitional term, a transitional method, which could be adjusted, which will be, in fact, adjusted later and refined and discussed more thoroughly. There has not been, even though there have been 11 meetings in New York, the participation of in those committees has shrunken, and there really isn't widespread listener participation in these discussions, and there isn't widespread participation from all the committees, all the communities, rather, that everyone, I believe, would like to see at the table. And the people who are advocating proportional representation and who feel very strongly that all the communities could be represented by proportional representation, and the people who are advocating the constituency model as a solution to some sort of understanding that democracy, I have to say, in my opinion, it's a mislabeling of the democratic process, but somehow a thought that democracy could not be democracy. None of the communities that we're all talking about have been adequately represented in these discussions. So I feel somehow that we have to have a structure in place that allows us more time. And if as you say, these discussions could go on for many years, that's wonderful. I certainly think they should be going on for many years. But if officially some decision could be made that we will give ourselves 2 years or 3 years to do adequate outreach and adequate discussion and really try to come up with a model that includes more a solution that includes more participation.
I don't want to sit as an appointed board member for 3 years.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think that is a problem. But what I'm saying is I'm really concerned right now that that Pacifica cannot be adequately represented that Pacifica cannot be adequately preserved unless there is active participation on the part of the listenerships in all five station areas, and unless that is built in to both the decision-making process about the structure of Pacifica and built into the ongoing running of Pacifica afterwards. And I don't see how that can be built into the ongoing operation of Pacifica afterwards if it's not included really actively with such power in the decision-making beforehand.
Before you answer, let me just do a little station ID here. You're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 on your FM dial. My name is Sean Rhodes. This is a special edition of Labrish with Hafde Selassie. You've been just listening to Andrea Fishman, who is a member of the Elections Committee of Concerned Friends of WBAI and also on the WBAI Bylaws Revision Subcommittee. And let's see, engaging Andrea in a dialogue there was Ms. Carol Spooner, who is the secretary of the Interim Pacifica National Board. She's also the chair of the National Bylaws Revision Committee, the chair of the KPFA Bylaws Revision Subcommittee, and a member of the KPFA Local Advisory Lab. And also in the studio with us is Mr. Ray LaForest, and he is a member of the Local Advisory Board for WBAI. He's also on the Interim Pacifica National Board. He's also on the WBAI committee, as well as the co-chair, along with Janice K. Bryant, of the WBAI Bylaws Revision Subcommittee. Okay.
I like